Turn with me in your Bibles to the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. When our Lord had his earthly ministry, his enemies gave an urgent call that he should be arrested and silenced. Those that went to carry out the arrest were dumbstruck by what the Lord was saying. And they came back to those who instructed that he was to be apprehended and silenced. And they said, "Never man speak like this man." They reluctantly spoke the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There was something really remarkable about the speech of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who heard him speak, even although they hated him, had to admit that his speech and his words were unique. And no one ever spoke like Christ. And no one ever sent forth his message with such wonderful truthfulness and dynamic power. The parables of our Lord Jesus Christ ring the sweetest of bells. They also ring the most piercing of alarms. And they also ring out the tenderest of lullabies. This is music which alone can send forth the inspiration of the one and only true gospel from the lips of God incarnate in the flesh. Here is a situation which only God can meet. And here Christ speaks in these parables with infinite truth, infinite openness, infinite honesty, and the infinite gospel and the grace of God tells us in a most remarkable way the answers that we ought to know. This parable, commonly called the parable of the Good Samaritan, has within it, in the simplest and sublimest manner, the different attitudes of various classes of people to those who are lost souls. Let me read with you verse 30 of this chapter 10. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Notice what they did to this man. They stripped him. So do the majority of the fallen souls in this universe. They strip their fellow sinners. Here was a man on the downward road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Note the special emphasis. He was going down. Jericho was once an accursed city, and it soon went back to its old evil sinful ways. Before this poor lost sinner reached the lowest level of his sinning, his fellow sinners robbed him. They left him naked. As the devil did to Adam and Eve in Paradise Lost. They wounded him with what they intended to be mortal wounds. They then forsook him. And then these sinful men made themselves scarce when all the criminal gains they had taken. This man's state, after they had stripped him, was desperate. He was left half dead. I remember as a boy hearing a preacher quote some lines which have never left me. This vile world's no friend to grace to help me on to God. Nay, rather, it is the incontrovertible enemy of Jesus Christ and of the saving gospel. They stripped him. But let me read you verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. What did that priest do? The thieves stripped the man, but the priest shunned the man. When that priest saw that poor half-dead man wallowing stark naked in his own blood, he hadn't one shred of sympathy or one tear. He passed by on the other side. He shunned him. Notice how the Lord Jesus Christ indicted the world of false religions personified in the priest as the first person to be condemned in not helping this poor half-dead man. One would have thought that the priest would have had some kindness, that he would have had some sympathy. The thieves stripped the man, but the priest shunned the man. But there is a reason for this. The priest was going down the same road as the man. Notice the word again about this nearly murdered sinner. Jesus said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. But in verse 31, by chance, there came down that way a priest. The priest was on the downward road, just like the man that was lying half dead by the side of that road. He was on the same road as a man who had been stripped by the thieves. The priest was in the same predicament. He didn't know that he was going to have the same end that man intended to have for himself when he set out down that road. The place where the priest was employed was in Jerusalem, at the temple. There was no employment for the priest in Jericho. Yet this priest left his only place of employment and is now on the same downgrade as the man he left half dead by the roadside. Why? The heart of the priest was as black as his inner heart. He was upon the road to hell himself. Hence the manifestations of his common downgrade character. The priest's religious garb was meaningless. His religious office was valueless. His whole life was a gigantic religious lie. And no liar has everlasting life abiding in him. That is what the Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That priest stands totally indicted and condemned. The thieves stripped him. The priest shunned him. But let us read verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. The thieves stripped the wounded man. The priest shunned the wounded man. The Levite slighted the wounded man. He was even worse than the priest. For he took time to go and look at the man. And he came and looked on him, then he slighted him by passing by on the other side. There was no excuse for this Levite. He was one of God's chosen tribe to do the work of the temple. While the house of Aaron, also Levites, did the priest's work of doing the sacrifices, the Levite tribe as a whole were students, practitioners of God's law, and were looked to live it out as an example to the rest of the whole Jewish nation. But this man was ashamed to this tribe. Although he examined the near to death victim, although he knew how near death the man was, he slighted him and left him to die. That Levite's heart was as black as hell could make it. It was also as hard as hell could make it. He left the man to hemorrhage to death, and he himself continued on the downgrade. But let's look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Note the language. He had compassion on him. This is the first time compassion is used or hinted at in this parable. What a change from the others. The robbers, they stripped him. The priest, he shunned him. The Levite, he slighted him, but the Samaritan, he surveyed him. Note well that this man, entirely unlike the priest and the Levite, was not going down. Notice it says, he journeyed. I have been on that very road, It is a very steep road. You have to journey on it. The Samaritan was journeying it. He was not descending. He was ascending. Only an ascending saint can help a descending lost soul. The Samaritan did not allow his race to keep him from saving his life. The Jews wouldn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. They hated them and treated them as dogs. But this man didn't allow any religious bigotry to keep him from loving. With a tender compassion and determination to save this poor man half dead. Note the verse 33. The Samaritan journeys to where he was. The Samaritan examined him when he saw him and immediately decided to help him. The Samaritan had compassion on him. Oh, I read this and I said, Lord God, give me strength to climb up the rocky mountain, to reach the stricken of the devil. May no sacrifice be too great for me to make for my Savior. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Help me when I find a lost soul to view him lovingly and sympathetically. And O God, the Son, let your Calvary compassion overcome my soul. O love, that soul, Lord Jesus, through me. And help me, O Lord, to do my part to win that soul for thee. But notice verse 34. This man not only surveyed the man half dead, but he went to him. He bound up his wound. He poured in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. First of all, he went to him. Here we have the personal touch. What a touch the Lord Jesus gives to the sinner. How soft, how tender, how blessed is the touch of Christ's nail-pierced hand. Secondly, he bound up his wounds. Jewish hands made those wounds, but the hands of the hated Samaritan bound up those wounds. It was his fellow Jews who attempted to kill the downgraded Jew. It was one whom he treated as an enemy, came and succored him. He poured in oil and wine. What a healing process is this. Here we have the perfect picture of our Lord's healing, saving work. The wine speaks and is a type of the precious blood of Christ. The oil speaks of the work of God, the Holy Ghost. This is a perfect type of God's salvation. How is a man, how is a woman, how is a boy, how is a girl saved? By the application of the Savior's blood by the power of the Spirit of God. But he did something more. He set him on his own beast. He could not walk So the Samaritan decided he would do the walking, and the man who would save him would do the riding. So he put him on his own beast. Fifthly, he brought him to an inn. The place of that inn is still pointed out today. In fact, I visited the place where that inn stood. And there is still an inn building on that same site. He took care of him. Jesus knows. Jesus loves. Jesus cares. Nothing his truth can dim. He does the very best for those who leave the choice with him. What did he do? He succored him. Poor, lost, blinded, hopeless, helpless, happiless sinner. He is saved by the suffering Savior. Dear sinner friend, in this meeting tonight, do not let the devil rob you of eternal life. Jesus wants to do for you exactly what he did for this lost soul. Notice sixthly, he saved him. He took care of him. Whom Jesus cares for, all is well. Jesus is the great Savior of sinners. What a beautiful word is that. He took care of him. Hallelujah. Nothing can harm the Father's child. If God takes care of you, you'll make the journey and you'll get to heaven safe and well. Not a soul Jesus ever saved, he ever lost, and never will. What a beautiful word that is. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And I tell you, sinner, he cares for you tonight. He is here. He will not rob you like the thieves or pass you by like the priests or Levites, but he will have compassion upon you. Notice verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Even when the good Samaritan was absent, he had provided and guaranteed the man's future. The Savior who saves, hallelujah, is the Savior who keeps. There will be no forsaking for those who have met Christ and have been saved by a sovereign grace. As I told my congregation this morning, I was greatly heartened when I got home this week. There was a letter lying on my desk. I want to read you it. It's from a man from Dagenham. And he says, I would like to take time to thank you to Dr. Paisley for helping me. I have never met him, although I have seen him on the television. But it is through his preaching, which I heard on the website, that I have become familiar with Ian Paisley and also with Jesus Christ. I would like Dr. Paisley to know that I spent 21 years of my life since I was 14 as a drunkard, an alcoholic, as they call it. Worse than that, I was an atheist from the age of 7. My son told me that when he was only 6, all he could say is, "My father is an alcoholic." Worse than that, I was an atheist all my life. For me, alcoholism and atheism were both part of the wider spiritual disease which I had. But you, Dr. Paisley, helped to assuage through your sermons and our blessed Lord Jesus. I have not touched a drop of alcohol since March the 16th of this year. This is not my work. It is a work of one greater than me. I just wanted to put on record my appreciation on thanks and thanks. Praise the Lord. I look forward to hear more of your sermons each day. And this month, thank God, through the website, 5,868 of these sermons were downloaded. That means that they were copied. We don't know what almost 6,000 of those sermons, who they will reach, or what souls will come to Christ. The Good Samaritan is abroad today. He's bringing sinners to himself. Will you not let him bring you to the place of peace and joy and comfort and forgiveness? Christ is the non-forsaken Christ, even to the most forsaken person. Christ is the friendly Christ, even to the most unfriendly person. Christ is a loving Christ, even to the most unloving person. Christ is a forgiven Christ, even to those who think they are unforgivable. Christ is the sin-cleansing Christ to the sinner that is filthy in his sin. Christ is the embracing Christ to those who have rejected him all their lifetime. Christ is the never forsaking Christ to all who think they're forsaken forever. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly, saying, "Come, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. and amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless thy precious word to all our hearts. And may man and woman close this night with Christ freely offered to them in the gospel. Amen.